Ross Code Weekly, number 41. I'm Joel Ross of RossCode.com, coming to you from the dungeon in Spring Lake, Michigan. Back for another installment, actually back on my regular schedule of releasing on Thursdays, although this will be a little later than I normally release on Thursdays. But it should still be out today, and quite a few stories. I'm not going to guess on how long it will be. Last week I took a guess that it was going to be longer, and as I was recording it, turned out it wasn't. It was less than 30 minutes, which is actually a shorter show lately, so not even going to guess on how long it's going to be, but I do have a lot of stuff to talk about. If you have any feedback, please drop me a line, weekly@rosscode.com. And if you wouldn't mind, give me some information on the sound quality. I'm going to try something new this week once I get done a little more processing to get rid of some of the white noise in the background, because the dungeon has a lot of noises in it. So I'm going to try to remove some of the sounds, and I'd like to get a little bit of feedback from you on whether it helped, whether it hurt, or basically what you thought. I might even try a couple other different tools to record this, but I'm going to do some of this stuff. So let me know if the sound's any better. You can send me emails, I already gave out the address. Or you can leave a voicemail, it's 206-424-4RCW, 206-424-4729. And with that, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Previously on Ross Code Weekly, a few follow-ups. NewsGator has been a busy company this week as FeedDemon 2.0, the final, was released. I talked last week about the betas and how they've been a lot more stable. Well, now the final has been released and it is pretty good. There's one bug that kind of bothers me that I'm going to probably submit to them pretty soon. But other than that, it's very stable. It's not a data loss bug. It's I go through my feeds too fast and I don't use the River of News feature of it. I go through them one by one. And if I go to them too fast and I click the back button in the browser thing, it doesn't quite work like I would expect it to. But other than that, it's very stable and very good in my opinion. Not to be outdone, the NewsGator team inside of NewsGator, the NewsGator inbox, hit RC 1 or 2 last week. And this week it's hit the final release. I think they did them all pretty much on the same day. And then in conjunction with that, NewsGator Online got a complete revamp. You can, the other thing I did is removed subscriptions. Well, sort of. You can buy the software now for $30, I believe. Or you can pay, once you have the software, you can pay $20 to continue being able to synchronize these products with NewsGator Online. And, basically you get no more tiered levels of subscriptions. So now I can have it an HTML version for my phone that comes with it. Not that I surf on my phone, but for my pocket PC I could. And it's all integrated together for a low price of $19.99 a year. Last follow-up story, Google's new search interface. There have been rumors that they're working on that. It's been rolled out to a few people, but not much other details on exactly what that was. But everyone can see it if they want. It's based on a cookie that you have. And if you follow the link in the show notes, you'll be able to see how to set up that cookie so you can see the new Google interface, the search interface, which has along the sides how many results in each of the different things. One of the things they're missing still is in that side thing, they don't show blog results. And I don't quite understand why they haven't quite incorporated that yet. Maybe blogging to them isn't big enough. But it is a much better interface in my opinion. If you want to give it a whirl, go ahead and check out the instructions. It's not hard. There have been a couple that I've seen that involved going in and manually editing cookies, and that does not sound fun to me. This is literally a line you copy and paste into your browser, and you're done. So, if you want to check out the new Google interface, check out the instructions. This week's news and views. First up, Google, a few things about them. They're being added to the S&P 500, to the Standard & Poor's Index. Probably one of the biggest indexes out there if you don't follow the stock market. And as of March 31st, they will be a part of that. This should be a pretty big boost for Google. Their stock jumped up the day that the announcement came out, as now there are hundreds of mutual funds that are based on the S&P 500, and they all will have to buy Google stocks. So Google stocks went up on that. Related to that, Google is going to be selling off 5.3 million shares more. Mostly to satisfy the demand of these fund managers. But, side note, it will raise $2 billion for them based on today's prices. Now, I don't know if that'll push the price down a little bit or what, but they will probably raise around $2 billion, and there's lots of speculation. We don't have many rumors this week, but we'll talk about one right quick here, and that is that possibly Google will be using that money to go after Facebook, which is a social network site for college and school and basically students. They were rumored to have an offer on the plate for $750 million. They turned it down, saying they're looking for $2 billion. Now, there's a lot of people saying, you know, they couldn't even get $750 now, but they are asking for $2 billion, and Google will be coming up with about $2 billion, so there are rumors flying that that might be what they're actually doing. My guess is that they're just doing this to satisfy the demand for the mutual funds. Otherwise, their stock price would be through the roof and way overinflated as fund managers have to get a hold of this stock. Google is doing job search now. I'm not sure if this is new. Neither is the post that I saw. But it's kind of funny. It made the news. The reason I saw it first was because if you do a search for jobs, you get this new interface. And the new interface is kind of cool because it lets you search by function, industry, location, type, a bunch of different other things that you can search on to narrow your job search down. But they're also doing, if you do a search for Yahoo jobs, you don't get the new interface. You do a search for Google jobs, you do. You do a search for jobs, you do. But Yahoo jobs, for whatever reason, doesn't. If you can hear the noise upstairs, that's my daughter pounding on the floor. That I cannot filter out with my new, the new way I'm going to try to process this. So, you hear that, I apologize. That's my daughter. YouTube is limiting the videos to 10 minutes. They said that if they looked at the majority of all videos that were over 10 minutes, they were copyrighted. They're copyrighted material. So, they've now limited to the videos you can upload to 10 minutes in an effort to cut down on piracy. Google Video has not followed suit, so if you need a video longer than 10 minutes, put it on Google Video. MSN TV is launching an in-car service. So they're rolling it out initially with Verizon using their EVDO network, and basically it makes your car a hotspot, so you can get internet, audio, and video right in the car, which means you could be driving down the street and surfing the net. Although, I did do a quick blog post on my blog about them doing that in my county, not through, they're using the 3G networks, and my county may be going wireless, which would mean I could be driving down the highway for $14.99 a month and be able to surf the net, which would be kind of cool, although I don't know exactly how useful that will be. Microsoft is looking like they're going to delay Virtual Server to 2007. I think they're expected to release that at some point this year, but to me this is not a huge surprise since it's going to be built into, I believe, both Vista and Vista. I'm not sure if it's Vista Client or just Vista Server. But since it's going to be built on top of that, I think they probably should get the base of that done before they release that. So it's not a huge surprise to me, but people are talking about it. MSN Spaces will be moving to Live. That means it will be changing its name to Windows Live Spaces. Now, I don't know if the URL will be changing to Live, but they're not going to do this as a separate launch. They're just going to kind of progressively transition the service over to be a Windows Live service. So we'll do it incrementally rather than launching a brand new site. And for anybody out there, BizTalk has hit RTM. If you are a BizTalk person and you used 2004, well, now you can upgrade to 2006. And my understanding is the new features are that it's actually a complete product now. So deployment is a lot easier, moving things around are a lot easier. Don't expect to see this on the shelves of Best Buy anytime soon, but it should be a lot easier to manage. The Cold Wars. Alright, let's start talking about cable, as there's a lot of stuff about that this week. So, Cablevision, they're rolling out what they're calling server-based DVR. So, each subscriber will get about 80 gigs of storage, so 45 hours of regular programming. They're going to test it in Long Island, and basically what it is you get a software update to either your DVR or your cable box, just existing cable boxes, and you'll be able to record up to 45 hours and have it stored on the server. Now, Time Warner tried to do this back in 2003. They scrapped their plans, probably partly because of network connectivity. I don't know if that was the sole reason, but also because TV networks said it violated copyrights by basically having a commercial entity record the programming. They say it violates copyrights when individuals do it, but even more so when a commercial entity does it. But my question for Cablevision is, why do you even have a limit? Why not just store every single show and then give everyone access to all of them? So if you ever miss a show, just get it on demand. Maybe limit it to a month, and then give people half that size of storage, so 20 hours, to store things longer than that if they want to, and then they can just go in and say, hey, you know what, I'd like to save this longer. So, for me, I'd still have the Red Wings game from March 26, 1997, when McCarty gave Lemieux his little beating. That one I'd probably store around for a little while, because it's fun to go back and watch that. Speaking of server-based DVRs, Time Warner is going to trying to do what they're calling instant replay TV shows. So they're going to offer the most popular shows based on the Nielsen ratings. And then they're going to give you subscriptions to that. So for, I don't know how long they're going to do, but basically once, like, they'll offer like the top 20 shows for $20 for $10 a month. And you'll be able to go back and watch any of those shows on demand, basically. They may even look and do this with ads or without ads. So they may take out the ads. And if they do it with ads, they may look at not fast-forwarding. So you can't fast-forward at all, but you can watch it whenever you want. That might satisfy some of the network's concerns about them offering up shows at a later point in time when the networks aren't really into that per se yet. Some of them are. ABC is going to do that for 8 hours after show airs. They're going to offer the ability to watch it online this summer. But this sounds like it's longer than 8 hours, and it would only be the top 20, so they're doing some of what Cablevision was talking about, but not quite the same. Sort of like the same thing. Now, there's another patent case that has started yesterday. TiVo against EchoStar. And basically, TiVo says, we have a patent on watching one show while another one is recording. They apparently have that patent. EchoStar said it was the first one to kind of do the same thing without TiVo's permission. They expect the case to take about 2.5 weeks to complete with a verdict sometime before May. TiVo, if they win this could be huge, because then they can start going after a bunch of other companies, because pretty much everybody's doing this. That's one of the best features of a DVR, is the ability to record something and then watch something else. With a VCR, you can't really do that, and you have to wait till the show is done. I'm sure what part of this is also the ability to start watching something while it's still recording, but I don't know that for sure. TiVo wins this, they could make a lot of money in some of their licensing settlements. Speaking of TiVo, they are upgrading, it appears, their Series 2 offerings. So it's going to be $349 for the new box. It does seem kind of like this is in line with an $800 Series 3 box. And this is finally, they figured out that people want to be able to record two channels at once. Except with the TiVo box, because it's not integrated with your cable, there's no HD or cable card support. HD's kind of separate here, but that's coming with Series 3, but there's no cable card support, so you can record one digital and then one basic channel, or two basic channels, but not two digital channels. The new boxes look like they come with 180 hours, and they have Ethernet and USB connections for home networking. ABC is going to offer subscriptions for series on iTunes. They're starting with Desperate Housewives and Lost. They're going to be $35, $34.99 a piece, basically $14 off. The difference is they've done this for older seasons, so for a whole season of, like, last seasons of Lost, or previous one if there's that many, they would offer $34.99, you can download all of the shows. The difference is you can now pay now, and for the rest of this season, you'll get those. And these are download forever, these are not rent, so you get these forever. Speaking of iTunes, France and Denmark are asking iTunes to open up their DRM, basically so that they can take the music store and put the music from those onto any device besides just an iPod. And despite Apple's, like, their seeming willingness to fight against DRM, they are not interested in getting rid of their own DRM. Talk about downloadable movies. Sorry about that. Universal Pictures, they are going to start being offering downloadable movies. These will not be time limited, and it's a pseudo downloadable, because you get the downloadable, but you also get a DVD version via snail mail. This is a lot like what Amazon has talked about doing. Speaking of Universal, they will not be downsampling HD DVD content. If you don't know what this is, it mainly affects people who had older HDTVs, the analog sets. There's something called the Image Constraint Token that would allow for a studio to downsample to 540p on older HD sets, and it was their option. Universal says they won't do that, and they're following the lead of Sony, who says they won't do that. Now, that doesn't mean this is set in stone, as this is constantly changing, so they could still go back and change their mind, but right now, if you have an older in order HDTV, HDTV, you can go ahead and get your new HD DVD player. I'm assuming they're going to do the same thing with Blu-ray, but they're not going to say that yet, because Blu-ray's a little farther out. Torrent Spy is finally somebody who's going to stand up to the RIAA. The RIAA is going after torrent search sites and saying they're in violation based on the Grokster Supreme Court ruling. And Torrent Spy is saying the ruling says that they must be taking affirmative steps to induce copyright violations. And Torrent Spy is saying, we are not taking affirmative steps, we are just a search engine. And it really appears that this is kind of the thing that the Supreme Court was looking to avoid with the way they word it, so they could allow search engines to operate. And basically what Torrent Spy is saying, the RIAA should be going after people who are hosting the files, not the search engines. And it kind of sounds a lot like the case that we just heard about Google last week, where a publisher said Google was responsible because someone said something bad about him and Google indexed it. The other thing that Torrent Spy is saying is, if you're going after us, you probably should go after Google, which I think they're kind of hoping that the RIAA would take the bait and go after Google, because Google would bring in a whole lot of clout and have a whole lot of money to fight them, probably more than the RIAA has. Skype founders were sued for racketeering. Now, this isn't quite what you think. This is stemming back from the Kazaa days. So if you don't know, or Kazaa, however you want to pronounce it, the same people who wrote that software also wrote Skype. Now, obviously, they got into a lot of trouble over Kazaa or Kazaa. And basically, what they said, they were going to sell it to Streamcast, which made Morpheus. But they eventually backed out and sold it to the Sherman Networks. And it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of chance of this actually taking hold. It sounds more like a money grab now that the Skype founders have a lot of money and are part of eBay. Speaking of voice over IP, Lycos is getting in the voice over IP game. They're partnering with an India-based company called Globe 7. It's ad-supported right now, and it includes entertainment. It's more than just voice over IP, so they get MP3, video, and IPTV. They're supposed to have 300 free-to-air channels. You can earn, basically, you can earn your phone minutes by watching the TV channels. You get 100 free minutes for signing up, and you can get more if you want to buy them, or you can obviously earn them by watching the TV. Includes an MP3 player, obviously, but it also includes IM. And then you can upgrade to a gold account and get a US phone number, unlimited incoming calls, and free voicemail. And it sounds like all you have to do is provide some personal info. I didn't see any pricing on that, so it may actually be free, based on you providing some marketing info, which is questionable whether that's free or not. This is a good way for Lycos, who used to be big in the search game, big name, and this is a good way for them to get back in front of their users, which they've lost over time. Sprint Nextel is going to be offering mobile search. It's $3 a month, and based on where you are, like what tower you're connected to when you make your connection, it will determine your location automatically and then serve up restaurants, ATM locations, driving directions, and more based on that information. It kind of sounds similar to what Google and Yahoo's free service is offering, but I wonder if their location determination works a little bit better. There's a company called OboPay, and they are set to launch. Now, OboPay is another mobile payment system, but instead of just using SMS, they may use SMS for some parts of it, but it uses a Java application locally installed on the phone, which obviously limits it to phones that run Java, or can run Java. Right now they're working with Singular and T-Mobile, and those are the carriers, and they're also working, trying to get their software to work on Nokia, Motorola, Kyocera, Samsung, and Sony Ericsson phones. Person-to-person payment system between phones. They say it can go to any phone. Now, it doesn't necessarily say that it has to have their software installed, so there may be SMS messaging going on between the unsupported phones and this one. But you'll also get a debit card, which is attached to your account, and they don't really have a whole lot of details on how much this is going to cost. Okay, everybody's been hot on Apple for their switch to Intel, and excited about that and what that actually means, except for Adobe. And the main reason is they say that Apple's Xcode development tools can't handle the job of converting Photoshop over to work on the Intel-based Macs. So it basically says that they can't handle large projects, and it may take them until April of 2007 to be able to upgrade Photoshop to work on the Intel Macs. Now, one of the things I always thought that was key to an operating system was that it abstracted away the hardware dependencies. So I guess I'm a little confused as to why this just doesn't work. And I'm sure there would be some issues, but it doesn't seem like it would be that hard. As long as you're dealing with the operating system to do a lot of this stuff, unless Photoshop and its image editing, I don't see why it would have to get at a lot of hardware-specific things. But, you know, I'm also not on the Photoshop team and not on the Apple operating system team either. But to me, it seems like this should have been a fairly simple transition to move from one to the other, as your operating system API should pretty much stay the same. But what do I know? I'm just a programmer. The Grapevine. Alright, here's a couple rumors. First of all, dual cores are cool, but quad cores, those are where it's at. And it sounds like Intel might be launching their quad core in Q1 of 2007. Its code name is Kentsfield. Originally scheduled for Q2, but it sounds like they're rushing it forward, which I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing. And there's potentially two reasons for them moving it forward, two very good reasons. First, AMD has said they're going to launch their quad core in Q1. Whew, say that fast. Anyway, AMD is going to be launching their quad core in Q1 of 2007, so they obviously don't want to give AMD any more of a chance to gain market share in them. And it would coincide with the release of Vista. Now Vista, usually, a new operating system will usually generate new hardware sales, and if Intel could be selling their quad core and make it solid, then this could be huge for both Vista and Intel, with Microsoft and Intel, and AMD, really, if they get theirs out at the same time. So it should be interesting to see those two go battle head-to-head. I don't think we've seen a whole lot of new processor releases going head-to-head at the same exact time. They've usually been off by 3 or 4 months. So this could be interesting if they both come out at around the same time. Google Music rumors are flying again, because tonight, Google is having an invite-only music roundtable. They're inviting 20 of the top music industry executives, and there's no word on really what they're going to talk about. This could be something that they're just all of a sudden going to reveal to these music industry execs to say, here's our music offering. Google has said that's not what it is. It could just be a planning meeting where they're going to talk to these guys and say, look, this is what we're thinking about doing. What do you guys want to see? How can we make this work the best for both of us? And they really do have a way to entice music execs, because right now Apple says 99 cents is the price of a song. There's questions about whether the music industry is setting that or if Apple is. But if they want to go with variable pricing, Google's already doing that with Google Video, whereas Apple's not really doing that with their video stuff. And if they go ahead and forward with this, Google could potentially offer variable pricing for music's song and entice some of the music industry execs to move away from their support of Apple and into bed with Google, which obviously Google would like, as they definitely are looking to make some enemies and take them out, and Apple would be one that they could potentially do that with. Odds and ends. Alright, so you buy some brand new rims, and you know they're nice and shiny, but you know they stay the same the whole time. Well, what if you didn't want that? What if you wanted full color LED rims that you can basically rotate up to 6 images? Now you can get that. It's called, I don't know what the company's called, I didn't write it down, but you can basically pimp out your rims. They have full color LEDs, so you can put whatever you want on it. They're programmable using Wi-Fi, and they run from your car's power, so as you're driving down the street, you can have pictures up to 6 of them rotating at a time. So the question is, what happens when somebody hacks into your Wi-Fi rims and changes the picture? That could be kind of interesting, and potentially illegal. So if you get them, be careful of that. Now, I don't know if this would be all that useful to me, but there's a new company called Epiphany that is offering what they're calling customized cola. Basically, you can customize the taste based on standard flavoring. It even allows you to change the smell and the color of it right in the container. And they are licensing the technology to various industries. So we could actually see this pretty soon from companies like Coke or Pepsi, or maybe even some smaller ones trying to get a foothold with something new in the beverage industry. Sony, after 11 years, is going to stop producing the PS1. They've sold 100 million units, which at $100 a piece, I think that's what the lowest price they're down to. They may be down cheaper than that now, but if they average about $100 a piece, that's a whole lot of cash that they've brought in making PlayStations. Of course, you can still play the games on PlayStation 2 and reportedly the PlayStation 3, although Obviously, you don't know about PlayStation 3 yet, because it's still 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. Anyway, they're also working on an emulator for the PlayStation Portable to play those games, so you can still play all your old games, just not on the PlayStation 1. If you're a little upset about that, and you need to go out and buy a brand new game of some sort, well, if your house has a urinal, you can get what are called urinal games. And basically, it's a pressure-sensitive display pad, and it has a pretty small target, and the idea is that if you put this in a public restroom, it could potentially increase the hygiene and reduce cleaning costs, because people are trying to hit a small target, and over time, everybody will get better at it. So, women, I know this probably is not for you, but if it is, well, that's interesting too. Anyway, this is a much more entertaining idea than the ads that they've been putting on in front of most urinals these days. So I think I'd rather play a urinal game than read some ad. Bonehead of the week. That's right, folks. It's back. Got a few of them. First one goes to Vonage. They put a user of their service on hold while his house burned down. Now, how on earth you can do that? And this guy dials 911, put him on hold while his house burns down. That's just ridiculous. I mean, this is why, as someone put it, voice over IP is still just a toy while phone service is a utility. Somebody out of Australia, I forget the guy's name, and even the company, but more than half of Vista is supposedly being rewritten. Now, they said 60% of Vista's code needs to be rewritten, and they're going to shift developers from the Xbox team to help with it. Microsoft is denying this all over the place, and basically Microsoft says, we're feature complete, we're just fixing bugs. I don't know where this came from, but if you think about this, they've been working on Vista for 5 years now, and they're going to rewrite 60% of that in 9 months, so basically 3 years. What they wrote in 3 years, they're going to throw out, have it tested, and ready to go, and not even 9 months, we're talking November is when it's going to be done. It just takes a little while to get it out to OEMs and all these other places that, you know, into Best Buy and stuff like that. It takes a couple months to do that, but they're getting it out to their business customers in, what, 5 or 6 months. There's no way they're rewriting 60% of it between now and then, and everybody's buying into this. Like, the last Gilmore Gang had these guys talking about, oh yeah, this is actually a fact, they're rewriting 60% of it, it's just ridiculous. They didn't even believe that. Dave Weiner, of all people, came to defend them, but these guys are complete boneheads. But I'm going to go with Google this week. I said earlier that I didn't think they really bought into the whole blogging thing because their search result didn't have blogs, and this just proves it. Google deleted their own blog. So googleblog.blogger.com, they deleted that. And another user claimed it. His name's Trey Phillips, and basically said, hey, Google, fix your blog, and then left the comments open, so I'm sure the comments are right. But Google eventually got it back, realized what happened. They thought it was a bug with Blogger, but it turns out, no, they just deleted their own blog. So, this week, Google, you are my bonehead of the week. And that'll about do it for this week. Now I'm going to take my time and go process to filter out all the white noise that I hear in the background. My computer's running, my laptop, everything that's going on around me. I'm going to filter all that out. Hopefully it'll sound a lot better. Be back next Wednesday. I'll be doing my normal schedule. I'm back onto a normal release here. I think everything's back, kind of back to normal. I'm still going to be busy with Tourney Logic because we got other stuff to do. But the tournament is over, so that means our busy time of the year is now done. We got a couple other deals in the work, but we'll have to wait to see if those come through. Anyway, if you have any feedback, send it to weekly@rosscode.com or leave a voicemail 206-424-4RCW. That's 4729 at the end there. It's not a local call, but it is if you're in Seattle. Anyway, thanks for taking the time to download. I appreciate it. And if you're a subscriber, I love you. No, I'm just kidding. I don't love you, but I do appreciate you subscribing, and we'll be back next week. Have a good week, guys.